This morning, we are very blessed to have Karen and Ken Hartman with us. We have been keeping them in prayer for more than 20 years and standing with them. And Ken was in an unfortunate circumstance and in prison, and we had the privilege, and a number of us had that privilege of going to visit Ken in prison, and the joy of sharing the Lord together. And whenever we came back, we were blessed beyond measure. And anyway, I did ask Ken and Karen if they would take a few moments this morning to share with all of us, so you get to know them a little bit, as we've got to know them. So, would you please?
Bless you, Ken, and bless you. Thank you.
Good morning. My name's Kenny. I'm Karen's husband. We're glad to be here today. Obviously, it's a joy for us, but we're also reminded, because of today, 9/11, a marked place in American history, that this is a time of reflection and mourning for others. We take days like today and personalize it for us, and we are humbled and reminded that there was a great price paid for our salvation and for us to have a second chance. And to be here today, it was a long time coming. We are moved, and we are grateful for the intensity of our emotions that followed us here today. We're praising God, and we woke up this morning. Karen and I have about a 25-year history. The first few years of that were lived in a very self-serving, sinful way that didn't honor God. We didn't know God. By the grace of God, we were married 16 years ago in Jesus' name. And for the last 2 weeks, we were yet separated by my incarceration. And for the last 2 weeks, we've been able to live as husband and wife. And we are joy-filled by that, but we are also humbled by the price that was paid by Jesus and by many others for us to be able to stand here today and testify about God's grace and mercy and live lives that we hope glorify God. My relationship, as Ted mentioned, with this fellowship started about 20 years ago. I had taken the time this morning and wrote down a couple notes. This piece of paper with a little outline on it and many other pieces of paper like it couldn't begin to describe the lessons and the blessings that God has taught me through this fellowship and through the love and support that you have all demonstrated through prayer. And through the Spirit, in a very practical way, the way you have supported Karen and I and made us feel a part of, help us be associated, accepted, and affirmed in Jesus' name. But I want to take just a couple minutes and thank you, and hopefully thank God. Thank the leaders and the several generations of people that are represented here that have helped support Karen and I. My life had spiraled. I lived in a very dark place 20 years ago. My life had spiraled all the way out of control till I was no longer fit to live among you. And the shame and the pain that I brought on my family and my community and many others is despicable. And I suspect that I would have continued in that self-destruction, left to my own devices. I landed in a place where I was trapped, literally. And I lived in a prison long before I was ever incarcerated. But three men from this fellowship brought a message of hope to me. And I was a very hopeless man. I didn't believe that there was any hope for me. I was miserable and comfortable in my misery because that's all I knew. Sig, who was the pastor of this fellowship at the time, and a couple of elders, Bob and Dave, brought a message of hope to me. And I want to honor them this morning. Something briefly about those men. Sig moved me early on by his confidence in his faith, his confidence in God's sovereignty. and his commitment to his faith. And he brought an elder, a brother named Bob, with him, Bob Meyer. And his levity, his personal relationship with God, and his personal surety about his faith were very moving to me, and I was encouraged by that, and I was drawn to these men. And lastly, at the beginning, there was Dave Licky. And I can't share with you how I was moved by the look on this man's face the first time I met him and every time I ever spent time with him. He had the light of the Lord on his face. And he had a peaceful spirit. These men brought something into my life that I never knew existed. And I didn't know what they were talking about or the God that they sought to serve. But I knew it worked for them. I didn't have any hope that it could work for me. I liked them. I believed it was them. But I was broken and beaten. And I was a bad person. And yet they told me there was hope. And they shared with me the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was desperate and broken. I surrendered. And they assured me that having confessed Jesus Christ, that my sins were forgiven. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't really believe that. But they kept showing up. And I suspect that I was a lot of work. And they loved me anyway. Long before I could ever love myself or forgive myself or begin to probably be lovable, they loved me. They ministered to me about the scriptures in 1 John 1:9, and I did confess, and God did forgive me. They told me, Sig told me early on and repeatedly, and his son Ted has continued to share with me, that I am a new creature in Jesus Christ, that old things have passed away and all things are new. And I thought, okay, that works for you, but that I don't think that could work for a guy like me. They shared with me, Kenny, they shared with me the scriptures in Corinthians. They said, Kenny, that your eyes haven't seen, your ears have not heard, and your mind has not imagined the things that God has in store for you. In the words in Philippians where he says, God started a wonderful work in you, Kenny, and he's going to finish it. They were real encouraged about my future, and I wasn't. They stayed in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter. They said, you are no longer condemned, Kenny. You are a free man. And I became free in Jesus Christ long before I was ever freed from prison. I've lived free for many years by the grace of God and because of the support and the continued guidance and encouragement of this fellowship, the people in this fellowship. All those men that came to visit me were also accompanied by and supported by Ella and Joy and Peg. And it's through your demonstration, through the hard times that you have suffered, that I have finally believed that God's grace is sufficient. They told me that so many times. I said, but, and Ted would say, God's grace is sufficient. I said, yeah, but, no, God's grace really is sufficient. And we have seen the things through your lives that have helped build our faith. I know today that Christ died for me and He lives in me. And I could never wrap my mind around that, but God made these scriptures real to me. My character began to change. My attitude began to change. My company began to change, the people I hung out with. I sought out other men that were seeking the Lord. My motives changed, and that changed my actions. My attitude about relationships and marriage changed. It was about this time that God blessed Karen and I with a marriage under some really difficult circumstances and probably against all logic, but we strongly believe, guided by and sanctioned by God Almighty, we have been married in Jesus' name for a long time. And we have helped each other, and He has put people in our lives to minister to us. God's people. Some joy began to come into my life as I came up out of a very dark place and began to live in the light and believe in the light that you brought to me. And that led me to a place where I felt compelled to give back that which was given to me. You've given me a lot. And I need you to know today that it wasn't just me you were given to. You gave to a lot of people in hopeless situations. good men that live in a community that is a dark place, but there's hope because you brought it into a prison. And you would minister to a man like me. I'll tell you a brief story real quick about God's, that I hope demonstrates God's sovereignty. Early on in my salvation, I was in Santa Barbara County Jail. And the Lord laid on my heart, Kenny, you're 31 years old. And 20 years from now, you'll be 51 years old. I couldn't wrap my mind around that. And He said, at that point, this phase of your life will be over. I had no idea what that meant. I tried to ignore it over the years. I was sure I'd be out of prison before 20 years, or I'd never be out of prison. I couldn't even wrap my mind around what was going on. But He gave me little assurances over the years. I never shared that story with anybody until recently. And He gave me wonderful things and wonderful people to work with. And He helped me work with people that are much less fortunate than I'd ever been. And the rewards were quiet but real. And I got to share that with you through Ted. And then as the generations changed and Sig moved on to be with the Lord and Dave and Bob, other men stepped up. Greg and Nanette, Ted and Laura come and continued to minister to me and continued to care for Karen and I. And the prayers that you have supported us through, I can't even imagine what that's like or why you wanted to do that for us. But then as we began to know the Lord, we understood the value of ministering to other people and the blessing you get by helping meet the needs of others. And then we finally started to get it. When Sig and Bob and Dave first started to come see me, I thought, what are these guys doing? Why would they want to come see me? Well, now I get it. And it's a beautiful thing. Around year 16 or 17 of my incarceration, it looked like I might be released. And I certainly thought it was time. And so did my wife. We wanted to be together. But there was a lot of obstacles that kept popping up out of the way. And then year 18 and 19 came, and then the Lord laid on my heart. Every time He would quietly tell me, you know, 20 years, Kenny. And I wanted to ignore that. And I'd say, well, Karen, I think maybe it's our time. And Ted kept reminding me, no, it's the Lord's time. I said, yeah, but Ted. That's one of my favorite lines when he would come see me. I gave my heart to the Lord on May 15th in 1991. I surrendered. And on May 16th in the year 2011, exactly 20 years later, a man who had authority over the parole board, a man who the Lord gave authority over the governor and everybody else, signed a piece of paper that said I was to be immediately released from prison. Exactly 20 years after the day that I gave my heart to the Lord. I didn't believe it at the time, and then I sat down and did the math. And it's real. And God's sovereignty is real. And He didn't waste a minute. Ted told me he wasn't going to waste a minute, and he didn't. Our transition, I'll let Karen share that with you, is joy-filled, but we're extremely humbled, like I mentioned to begin with. Jesus and a lot of others paid a price for me to be here, and we want to honor that. I owe a debt I could never pay, and Jesus had to pay it for me so that I could have a new life, and then I could share His life with others. Things didn't go real well when I first got released. We were feeling hard-pressed on every side, but we weren't crushed. We were feeling perplexed, but we were never in despair. As the Scriptures say there in Corinthians, we knew it was going to be okay. We were feeling persecuted, but we knew we weren't abandoned. And we knew that God can and will work all things out to bring about a greater good, and He has certainly done that in our lives. And I want to thank you again for your support. Those of you that I know directly, and the many, many of you that I only know through your prayers. Thank you.
Well, I'd have to have had to wring out a few Kleenexes. I'm always reminded when Ken and I speak, either privately or to other people, of God's grace and how good He is, because we've directly felt that. Ken called me. Ken was released on June 22nd. He called me a few days before, told me that they were kicking him out. And we've had many ups and downs over the years, and so you find it hard to believe until it actually happens. The morning I drove up there and I picked him up, I held my breath. I sat in the car and prayed until he came out. And it was a wonderful, wonderful day. We went out to breakfast in downtown San Luis and sat on the patio and had breakfast together, a meal in the free world that we hadn't experienced in a long, long time. And certainly not with the feelings that we had had at that point. I remember about 15 minutes into the time we were sitting there, I looked at him and I said, "It's like nothing, no time has passed. It's just us here together." And we'd been concerned about some of the transitions that we might have to go through about living together. I'd lived alone for 20 years, and you think about those things. And they passed very quickly. The Lord was very, very wonderful and gracious to us, that all the little picky things that we thought we might be concerned about weren't there. It was just the fact that we were together. I had retired the month before, and I told Ken at the time, I said, "I expect you to come home very quickly because I don't want to spend my retirement alone." I said, "Give me about a month and I'll be ready." It was 3 weeks. The day he was released, we went to the parole, and I think probably many of you know this story. We went to the parole office to check in, and we found out almost immediately that he was not going to be able to stay in Santa Barbara County. He had job opportunities there. My home had been there for 19 years that I had made and wanted him to be a part of, come into that home and for us to be together. And all of a sudden, those dreams and those the preparation that we had made were all just blown apart. And we were stunned. And like Ken said, we didn't know what was going to happen. We went home that night, and the next morning when we woke up, I said to him, I don't know which one of us said it first, but I said, "I'm very sad this morning." And he said, "I am very sad also." And we cried out to the Lord and asked what was going to happen to us. And almost immediately, someone was sent into our life, a gentleman from the parole office who Ken had met while he was still incarcerated. And who knew him, knew the kind of man he was, knew that he was a godly man. And this man was also a godly man. And he came into our lives, and he said, "It's going to be okay." And he was part of the problem, but he was also part of the solution. He came to our home, and we spoke with him a number of times over those first few days. And I could see that it was going to be okay. We had to make some decisions. We made a decision to move down to Ventura County. And again, we were separated within a week. Probably one of many sad days we've had in our lives. But I just kept saying, we kept saying to each other, "He's out of prison and I'm retired. It's going to be okay. I don't know how it's going to be okay, but it is going to be okay." And during that, about a month and a half, almost, I guess it was almost 2 months that we were separated during that process. I can't begin to tell you. I wish I had written down all the people that came into our lives that God sent to us, ministered to us, gave us hope, gave us joy. And we finally were able to move in together. We found an apartment. Candace found some temporary work. The Lord has just truly blessed us over these last 2.5 months in ways that I would not have believed if I hadn't lived it. And I believe He had a plan for us that we didn't see on June 22nd. But this is where we're supposed to be. We know it without a shadow of a doubt now. We're waiting for the Lord now to show us where He wants us to be of service. That's our prayer daily, to show us where He wants us to be of, to serve, be of service to Him, because that's what we want to do. People have served us. People have stood by us. People have prayed for us, this group in particular. And we want to give that back as soon as we can, but we will be waiting on the Lord once again. So thank you all. Many of you I've known for years. I'm thrilled to death that Ken and I are here today and that you get to meet my wonderful husband. Thank you.